right. All right, so we'll say let's begin. So we left off on paragraph Lamed. Nimtza, shanu krovim laKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol sugiyakrala. So it turns out that we are close to God in all ways. Now remember again, when we say all ways, we spoke about two different ways. So about geographic proximity and emotional connectedness. So when we are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both of those ways. There's geographic proximity because God is everywhere. And did we do Lamed?
I have some underlined things.
So maybe Lamed Aleph. Okay, good. Yeah. Look at this. We're flying tonight. Good. Lamed Aleph. Bichdei lahamshich es advarim. So in order to go ahead and appreciate these ideas, namely... Oh, yeah, we did do this. I didn't move my purple marker. No, Lamed Aleph. I think we did because we did Lamed Beis also. That was with the neighbors who were living next to each other, no? Or maybe not. No. Actually, I take it back. Let's do Lamed Aleph. Bichdei lahamshich es advarim, in order to go ahead and bring this point home, meaning what it means that we are already close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nisbonin venira, keitzat af b'inyane gashmios, ba'olam hazeh, lo kol kirva hi krova muchashis. Nitin dugma ledavar bebeiz hasugim shalakrava.
So
he says, even though we've established, let's say, and again, let's say also recognize the style over here of the Sefer is that he begins by first establishing a truth. Let's accept X as a truth. Now that we know it as a truth, let's try to figure out if we can actually see it or not. So now that we've established as a truth that I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both aspects of closeness, geographic proximity and spiritual connectedness, so now the problem, of course, that comes up is, if that's true, how come I don't feel it? How come I don't feel it? See, he writes an amazing mashal. He says, Keterem humtza microscope. Before there was a microscope, Ilu nigash la'adam v'nishal oso. Ha'im yesh chitkim shekrovim elav va'omdim b'merchak shel kama centimeters mimenu. So this is, you have to have like an Israeli on your speed dial, you know, to be able to sit, right? See, he says, if you would have asked someone before the microscope, are there any kind of like, chitkim literally are like germs, small insects, like, germs, yeah, uh-huh. Right? Are there any small microscopic size insects that shekrovim elav va'omdim b'merchak shel kama centimeters? You know, if so, again, are there any germs or insects or bacteria, anything around? Your person would say, hu yashiv lo ba'ofen hanechratz b'yoseh. Of course not. What are you talking about? Look, I don't see anything around. There's nothing here. Anything that's happening. Anything that's happening, ultimately, I would know about. So he says the following. Now, even though it's clear that such a person is mistaken, because at the end of the day, there are microscopic organisms all over, and inside of me, there are absolutely microscopic entities, ulam mechivan she'in ha'adam eineni yechola liklot zos, va'adam misponin u'misponin ve'in arozos, but since I can't see it, therefore, I'm absolutely sure that it can't possibly be true. But in reality, this individual is mistaken. So what do we see from this? We see from this that a person could be in direct geographic proximity to something, and yet what? Be absolutely clueless. So that's all he's trying to prove from this mashal. There could be something real unfolding right in front of me, even right within me, and I'm absolutely clueless to that reality. Paragraph Lamed Beis. So we'll say, remember, all he's trying to prove over here is, even though we've established as a truth that I'm close to God, both in the realm of geographic proximity, as well as in the realm of emotional connectedness, so you can see that you could be geographically close to something, but if you can't see it, or you can't recognize it, then by definition, you will not feel that closeness. Lamed Beis. Niten o dugma b'kirva mishpacha. Let's give another example. When it comes to, let's say, the closeness of family. Because remember, again, in the second model of closeness, which was this emotional connectedness, the best example of that was family, right? That I'm hopefully I'm close to my family, and that's true even if my family's far away. I still feel a sense of connection to them. She says, "Anoshim rabim ba'u l'Eretz Yisrael la'achar ha'shoah. Kim'at lo netzer shel mishpacha." There are many people in Nebach after the war who came to Eretz Yisrael with no family, virtually no family. V'habedidus lo mishpacha he'ika arochem. And the truth is, the pain that a person experiences by growing, by not having any family, is more than we could imagine. V'hayu b'nei adam sh'amlu l'chapeis netzer v'zeichel mishpachosam. And there are people who spent incredible amounts of time and energy and money just being able to find some relative, no matter how distant. Dugma l'davar. Give you an example. Adam gar b'binyan v'shachin al gabo. A person lives in an apartment building and he has a neighbor on the upper story. U'b'lashon hamata ein kishrei yedidus shorim ben ashnayim. And he says, let me put it mildly, they're not best of friends. Right, so Reuven's living in the apartment, and above him is Shimon, and to put it mildly, they're not best of friends. Peish chav ches. Kol echad mehem mechapes es krova zeshalim. And what happens? They're mamish both survivors, and they both spent all of these years trying to go ahead and find any lost relatives. La'achar ke'esrim shana, misbarer lahem ba'ofen akroin, sheshneim krovim. What happens? 20 years later, it turns out, they find out, their long-lost relatives, mishpacha, b'nei dodim, cousins, v'zulas ze elam krovim ba'aretz u'ba'olam, and they are each the last remaining relative of the other. There's no one else left. Eile shnehem bilvad krovim zeloze. Hari adam yachal. So what do you see from this? Hari adam yachal lihios. Hari adam yachal lihios samuch mamish. We see from here that a person can mamish be living right underneath their last surviving relative. And it's a person who I know very well, living close proximity. But since I don't know that he is my relative, I have no level of emotional connectedness to this individual. So what does this example show? That Lemaisa, again, I could have geographic. So the first example he was showing was that you could have geographic proximity, but if you're not aware of the existence of the other, then by definition there's no closeness. In example number two, I could have geographic proximity, but if I don't recognize the connection, then thank you. If I don't recognize the connection, then by definition I don't feel that sense of closeness. Hare lefaneinu beis dugmaos beruros. So in front of us we have two explicit examples, ba'ofen shel kervas makom v'kervas mishpacha, in the realm of geographic proximity, familial or emotional connectedness. Sha'adam karov ma'od ladavar. Person could be so close to something, ulam rachok mimenu, but it's so far. Mechevan shehu eino yodea shehu karov ladavar, because he does not know that is really close. So this is such an incredible useful life. You know, there's the famous mashal. It was the Baal Shem Tov's mashal. I think it's been restated in other ways. The Baal Shem Tov's following mashal, he said that there was once a man in Poland, rural village in Poland, who had a dream. And in his dream, he kept seeing that there was buried treasure underneath the drawbridge of the king's palace. Okay, so he had it the first night, fine, forgot about it. Dream reoccurred second night, third night. He figures, mamish, there's got to be something to this. So what happens? He decides he's gonna go to the palace. He goes by the drawbridge, and mamish takes out a shovel and he starts digging. So the guard by the palace says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, listen, I know this is gonna sound a little bit strange, but I've had a recurring dream that there's buried treasure right underneath the palace." So the guard said, "You fool! You can't listen to dreams. I've had a dream the last couple of nights that there's buried treasure underneath the stove of an old poor Jew in a rural village in Poland, right? And you think I listen to my dreams?" So the Baal Shem Tov says, as the incredible yisod is that sometimes we travel so far only to be able to discover that the treasures we really want and need are right underneath our nose. Right? And so he's saying like this, like you could have something that is right in front of you. You can have something that mamish is right in front of you. But if you don't perceive it or you don't see it, you'll just never know it. And obviously, you see where he's going with this is we have that Kirvas Hashem, as we've already established. We have the Kirvas Hashem on both levels, geographically and emotionally in a familial sense. But the truth is, until I actually realize it, I'm never going to perceive it. So let's go on. This is Lamed Gimel. Kein hadavar dome bikirvas ha'adam la'kadosh baruch hu. The same is true with man's closeness to God. Become a mine kirvos. In all the different aspects of closeness, shezacharnu ha'adam karov labore makom. In all the different manners of closeness, geographic proximity, emotional connectedness that we've spoken about, every way in which closeness can manifest itself, we enjoy that level of closeness with God. Ula mechevan she'in aroa sabori liyado, but because I don't see God by my side, kedichsev lo kilo yirani ha'adam v'chayim, lekachu eino chash shukarov labori olam. So because I don't see God, I automatically assume that I am not close to God. Hu yodeh she'akadosh baruch hu abba shalo, I know that God is my father. Ulam hu eino margish zos heitiv b'leiv, but I don't really feel it in my heart. Hu yodeh she'akadosh baruch hu rea shalo, I know that God is my friend. Ulam eino chash zos b'leiv, I don't feel it in my heart. Ilu hayim misaprim la'adam she'savor zeh shanim she'aviv nislalik min ha'olam ulefesa modiyim lo she'od avinu chai ubiyado liros es aviv koli b'hayim esmali gil v'simcha al kach she'yesh la'odev sharas liros la'hakir es aviv. If a person thought that his father was dead, and then he was told that Baruch Hashem, your father is still alive, could we imagine the joy that he would experience by being able to be connected with his father? Umachshavto sheyoser lo yeyda abba mahu haisa tos muchletes. Right, and ultimately, again, what would also pain the individual is the recognition of how mistaken he was in his thought process that his father was no longer here. So, Mosai, what he's seeing over here is something incredibly profound, which is that the struggle is not to come close to God. This is such like a game-changing approach, because often we think our big problem is that we're far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not true. We are as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possibly imaginable. The difficulty is, the challenge is, we just don't realize it, appreciate it, understand it, or perceive it. So, and this, you see, to a certain degree, that compounds the tragedy. Because if I was far away and I just never made the effort to come close, okay, nebach. But if I'm already so close, I'm right here next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet I don't perceive it, understand it, or appreciate it, what a chaval, you know, what a tragic loss, because it's right here next to me. That's his mashal over here. I thought all these years the father wasn't here, and I found out the father was here the whole time. So yes, I'm happy because now I could see my father again, but I'm tragically sad because what about all of the lost time, all that time that he was alive that I thought he wasn't here, that I thought I didn't have access to him, and I realized I do? I can't make up that lost time. Let's do one more paragraph. Lamed Dalet. Komi shelo amol rabos lahakir es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who has not worked hard to be able to perceive God, as ha'aba ha'amiti shalom, who eino makir, as ha'aba shalom, it's very simple, you sowed in life, right? You get out what you put in. So if I have not worked hard to be able to recognize God in my life, I'm not going to recognize God in my life. Ulai hu yodeh shukayom, I'll know that God exists, aval hu lo makir es aviv, but I won't ultimately know my father, I won't recognize my father. Kidugmas adam, sheyodeh she'aviv b'chutz la'aretz, v'af pam lo ra'u, I know my father is in chutz la'aretz, but I never saw him. Kina dover, adam shelo amol rabos lahakir es baro, if a person does not work hard to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo hakaras ha'seichel b'chakiros, ela hakaras ha'leiv, person, I don't work hard to try to actually realize this. Rather, all I do is I know it, but I don't actually work hard to make that knowledge a reality. Hare hu yodeh sheyesh lo abba, I know my father, I know I have a father. Elohu eino kaftes makir es aviv kimat klal. Both said, this is such an incredible yisod. In a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not enough to know God. It's not enough to know that God is close. I have to work on feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close. Because to live life with knowledge, but without the feeling, is such a deficient life. Adam sha'amal be'emes, a person who really toils, v'zoch lahakir es baro, and as a result is able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, es aviv sheba shamayim, hu nochach ladaas shelo rak shulo hirgish HaKadosh Baruch Hu nitzav liado, Elohu yo yada klal ma ze abba shebashamayim. So we'll say, when we get to the end of this process, and hopefully we're able to really feel that Kodesh Baruch Hu, our lives in an acute way, so we will realize that it's not just the pshat that perhaps we were a little bit deficient in realizing that God was by our side, but the truth is, I'll realize that I didn't even really know what it meant to have a father in heaven. Meaning that it's not just the pshat that I don't feel as close as I could be, it's that in the absence of true closeness, I don't really even appreciate what it means to have a father. And I'm going to say, you understand like why this is so different than what we normally learn? This is not about schar and onesh. Sorry, it's not about punishment and reward. It's not about any of that. It's simply about the fact that without recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really close to me, I lose out on the relationship. I lose out, not because, it doesn't mean I lose out on getting more stuff. I lose out on getting more brachas. I lose out on getting more schar. That's not what it's about. I lose out on the relationship. You know, in life, sometimes the relationship itself is the end. See, we live in a very utilitarian society. So our conception of relationships, our relationships are a means. You know, there's a big machlokas about marriage. Machlokas about marriage. About like, what is the nature of marriage? So for example, the Sefer HaChinuch says, there's no mitzvah of marriage. There's no mitzvah of marriage. Marriage is a utilitarian mitzvah for a period of arrivia. Right? It creates the halachic construct in which, again, you came for the best part. The best part.
The popcorn?
Right? And the popcorn. Right? In which a person, so again, a person could go ahead, I have a mitzvah to have children. Yeah, having children has to come in a certain construct. It's period of arrivia. So, and that's Sefer HaChinuch says, no mitzvah of marriage. That's why, again, for example, if a person were to marry, like we're doing in Yevamos Tav, we have tomorrow, we have today, like in Islandis, person marries a woman, can't. There's no mitzvah in that. So that's Sefer HaChinuch and most opinions. Soloveitchik has essays on relationships, marriage and relationships. And in one of his essays, he writes the idea that we believe in marriage as a relationship that is necessary for just the companionship. Even if the marriage does not produce children, the marriage itself, the companionship, is so significant. And what's the Rav's raya for that? What's the greatest raya for that?
Avos.
Is what?
The Avos.
Right, from who specifically? Avram and Sarah. Remember, again, it was, as far as Avram Avinu was concerned, from Avram Avinu's perspective, when he had Yishmael, he was absolutely sure that Yishmael was the spiritual heir apparent. He thought that Yishmael was going to be the one who was going to carry his legacy. That's why, if you remember again, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that you're going to have a son with Sarah, so you would have expected Avram Avinu to do like patriarchal backflips. But he doesn't do that. Instead, what does he say? He says something amazing. He says, Lu Yishmael Yichyeh Lefanecha. If only Yishmael would go out and live before you. And Rav Hirsch comments, and he says, you know what Avram Avinu was saying? Ribono Shalom, you don't have to do miracles. You don't have to give a baby to a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old woman. I have a son. Let's make it happen with Yishmael. So the Rav says, you see from here, that Avram Avinu, again, even if the marriage with Sarah would not go ahead and create the child, that marriage was meaningful. So this stands in contradiction, because we often assume that relationships are utilitarian. I have a relationship because it's going to give something to me, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a partnership, whatever it is. But we have to remember that from a Judaic perspective, the relationship itself, especially with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is the end. See, we often think, why do I need a relationship with God? Because I need a parnasa, because I need refuah, because I need help with my kids, because I need this, I need this, I need that. I have a whole laundry list of things. So to get those things, I need a relationship with God. Now that is true on some level, but there's something so much better. The relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by itself, that's the ends. That's the ends. That is the goal. And even if I don't get any more stuff, and even if I don't get any more blessing, you know, the happiness in life only comes from one place, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I have a deep and profound and passionate, loving relationship with God, I will be a happy person, even if I don't have every single thing that I want. Conversely, you could have every material blessing you want in the world, but if you don't have a loving, passionate relationship with God, you are not going to be a happy person. So what he's saying over here is like this: I could be doing everything right, religiously, Judaically, observance-wise, but until I really appreciate this idea, understand this idea, feel this idea that God is karov, not just as, not in an intellectual way, but in an emotional way, I'm missing out on so much in life. I'm missing out, not again on the bracha, on the mazel, I'm missing out on the relationship. Lo haya lo shum kli avchana la, havin ma'akadosh baruch hu, mahu miftam amila, banim atem la Hashem, Elokeichem, matamun b'hagdara ben shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until I feel close to God, I know I say the words, God is my father, I'm his son, but I don't even know what that means. What he's saying is, you know, like in life, there are some things you have to. It's like, you know, we all know there are certain things in life that you know, if you had a good chassan teacher, so the one thing a chassan teacher always says to every chassan is what? Is, you know, I could prepare you for your chuppah, but nothing could prepare you for what it's going to, you have to experience it in order to feel that simcha. Person could tell you about the incredible joy on the birth of a child, but the truth is, until you experience it, there are certain things in life that are so incredibly profound that they can't be described by another. You have to experience it yourself. He says it's the same thing that when, you know what happens? When we get to the level of actually feeling karov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to feel what it means like to have a father. Like what it means to have the emotional as a father. I'm going to feel what it means like to be a ben. So we're going to describe these things. But the truth is, we can only describe it to a certain degree. When we experience it, that's when we'll truly understand it. Zelo inyan shel yeda sichli. This is not an intellectual thing. Zohi hasagas hanefesh. This refers to a spiritual understanding.
What does he say about someone who, sometimes people go through life and like a light bulb goes off or something happens to them, right? And then all of a sudden, you could say the light bulb falls out. You know, are they truly working hard to continue that kirvas Hashem?
Okay, that's, my question? Yeah, 100%. You know, that's a hard question to answer because I'd say it depends on the person, it depends on their circumstances. Sometimes the light bulb goes off because people aren't working hard enough. Sometimes light bulb goes off because, you know, a person encounters trauma. A person has a traumatic situation. Very often in traumatic situations, people need all of their strength just to be able to stay afloat. To be honest, I don't have time for God. I need to keep myself afloat to such a degree. I need to remain standing. And very often that keeps a person, that takes a person's entire reserve. So, you know, people often think that suffering brings you closer to God. Suffering could bring you closer to God. It's possible. But suffering very often also distances you from God. Not even because you're angry at God, but simply because there's no time. I have to put every last ounce of strength into myself, into my family. So if the light bulb goes off from that, is that because a person is not working hard enough? Chas v'shalom. It's because a person had to channel their strength in other directions. So I don't think, you know, so you'd have to ask, why did the light bulb go off? Sometimes it's laziness, and sometimes it's because I had to redirect my emotional resources elsewhere.
But it's part of life.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, there's the amazing Gemara's in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says, I don't remember who it was, but the Gemara's talking about the sugi is Yisurim Sha'ava. Right? There's this concept, it's a theologically difficult concept of this idea, how sometimes suffering is the ultimate manifestation of divine love. Right, that somehow if you suffer in this world, it purges you of whatever sin you have, and it, you know, you have a clean slate in Olam Haba. So the Gemara talks about one of the Tanaim who was like mamish sick, suffering terribly, and one of his rabbinic colleagues came to visit him. I don't remember who it was, and essentially said to him, "You're like, how's it going? Like, how's the Yisurin Shel Ava? Like, are you mamish? Like, you must feel so kaddish, so incredible, right? Because again, like on this level of, and the bedridden Tana says, you know what, Lohein." I don't want the suffering, and I don't want the reward. So first of all, it's so validating when you read a Gemara like that, right? Because what was this Tana saying? This Tana was saying, listen, you know what? I get it. I know God. I appreciate the love. You know, love someone else, right? Or love me a little bit less. This idea that because when you suffer, I mean, what was that Tana saying? Was that he couldn't take the suffering? So the Marsha comments on that Gemara. The Marsha says, no, what he was saying is like this, is that when I'm suffering, I can't do anything else in life. I can't concentrate on my learning. I can't do chesed. I can't do anything. because I'm just stuck surviving. So that's what he meant when he said, so I appreciate that it's Yirin Sha'ava, so it's very valid. It's absolutely valid. If a person says, I have to redirect, that's, sometimes you'll see people are in crisis in life and they're having like real life problems. And one of the things that also bothers them is, you know what, I don't feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. I don't feel close. So whenever a person tells you that, I always say to them, listen, I said, right now, this is going to sound like strange advice, you have to forget about God. Your problem is not God right now. Right now, you need to right the ship of your life. Right? Right now, you need to focus on getting better. You need to focus on getting things together. The Ribbono Shel Olam is very patient. He'll wait for you to come back to him and reestablish when you are in a better place. But sometimes you have to just pull out all the stops to right yourself. Then you'll come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if the light bulb goes off because of that, I think it's valid. Again, I think it's a very individualized question, but I think it's valid. He says, Kol mashal shel ben v'av, v'av lo yimtzes omek hamahus shel hargashas ben shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No matter how close you may be to your father, or your father may be, or father as a father you may be to your children, nothing could ever match the closeness that potentially we could have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. Zeu davar shel amala me'akaras enosh u'gidarim sichlim. This is bigger than anything we could possibly imagine. V'zoi akaras ha'neshama es'aviha. It is literally our soul, which is the daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing her father. Tzarech lahavin. When the Torah says we are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So again, when I read that pasuk, I say to myself, okay, I got it. I understand it. Meaning I have a physical father, a human father, a biological father, and I have a spiritual father who tofes rak es shitichios hadvarim. That's such a superficial view. It's like the shetach. It's such a superficial view of what that means. Lo es pinimius. So I don't understand what it really means. Pinimius ha'saga shalom ha'hush shal ben shakadosh baruch hu. To really understand what it means to be a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yachol ha'adam la'asiga rak ka'asher hu margish kein benafsho. A person can only understand that when he feels it in his soul. Lo ka'asher yinasu la'hazbir ezos. Bahagdara. So we'll say, this is amazing. What he's saying is there are certain things in life, like we said before, that you can only understand it once you feel it, once you experience. So we could explain all of these different frameworks. And that's why what he's really focusing on is strategies. How do we get to the level? There's no point in explaining what it means to be a Ben Hashem or to mean what it has to have Avinu Shem Hashemayim. Those are, once we truly understand, that's the first step. Then appreciate, second step, and then actually feel, third step, they are closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then and only then will we understand what it means to have God as a father and what it means to be his son. We'll stop over here for tonight. Oh, so now you're getting into, the Balatanya speaks about some of those things. Can a non-Jew experience Kirvas Hashem? I don't see why not. Is it different? I mean, look, the neshama of a Jew and the neshama of a non-Jew is it's different, but I don't see why. I mean, Banim Atam Hashem Elokeichem is, I always felt, could be is a humanity statement. The Chodesh Baruch is not just our father; he's the father of the entire human race. So I don't see why. You have to ask a different question. Does a non-Jew have an obligation to experience Kirbas Hashem? I would venture to say the answer to that is probably no. We really have an obligation, because if God says, you are my child and I am your son, that means I have an obligation to become a mitsuyon in that relationship. I don't know if a non-Jew has that obligation.
Well, they have the Sheva Mitzvah.
Right, but that's not one of them.
Right.
They can't worship Avodah. Meaning, it's almost like they're obligated to pledge. It's the absence of another God. Meaning, they're obligated to pledge their allegiance to God. But lav dafka, there's an obligation to cultivate. Correct. And again, remember, pledging my allegiance, that's relationship also.
Right.
Are they obligated to feel like a child?
Right.
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. So I don't know if it's older.